help out a fair bit on Tuesdays as well. As they've gotten older and gotten more skills, and we're teaching them more skills, they've become a much bigger part of our Vespers ministry as well. I've also gotten to know members of our homeless community in Ann Arbor, to the point where I can speak, like where I will speak to them and say, hey, are you coming to dinner this Tuesday? When I see them on the street, which is nice to be able to engage in that conversation rather than just the, like, no, sorry, not today. The other thing that's important to me is that it gives me an opportunity to use the gifts that I have been given by God. I recognize that now. When I was 12 and my mom was telling me to dry the dishes and put them away in the church, I did not see that as being given a gift from God. I saw that as being given an order of something to do by my mother. But now I realize that those skills are a gift that I have that I can share with our community. And they've been given by God through my mom so that I can show God's love through service and food and friendship. So that's why I do Vespers. And when we have our Connect Fest in 2 weeks, there will be a table where you can find out more about volunteering yourself with Vespers. We'd love to have some extra help on the second Tuesday of every month, and I'm sure Mary would like to have some help on the first as well. So thanks very much.
A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison as though you were in prison with them, those who are being tortured as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Through him, then, let us continually offer a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that confess his name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. Please pray with me. God of justice, keep us silent when the only words we have to utter are ones of judgment, exclusion, or prejudice. Teach us to face the wounds in our own hearts. God of justice, give us power of speech to resist injustice, oppression, and hate, not only on our own behalf, but for others who are not heard. Make us peacemakers and restorers of the streets. God of power, keep us silent so that we may listen respectfully to one another's pain without trying to fade or fix it. For you are present within each one of us. God of power, give us courage to share our gifts of speech, to comfort, uphold, and strengthen. Let us be a glimpse of your love to those in need. God of love, in the silence of our hearts, give us words of welcome, acceptance, and renewal, so that when we speak, our words come from you. God of love, give us voices of praise to celebrate each other and the glories of creation, believing that we all live within your blessing. We pray now for those we know to pray by name. For Bonnie Miles, for Peter Beauvais, for Jean Evie, Joan and Lynn Blunt, Stacy Simpson Duke, Marilyn Marsh, Laura Parmalee, for Doris George, Juanita Dieterle, Pat Hubel, Iris Martin, Saw Nay Lin, Robert L., for Marissa Alanese, for Amos Health and Hope, for our Vespers program, for Hope Clinic, for Rebecca and the family and friends of Octavio Batchin, for Carrie Cable, the Jones family, the Wallace family, for Eldie and Arafath, for Jones and Spencer families, for Lucas and Samuel, for Rebecca Levinson, Janice, Russ, and Amy L., Ginny, Bonnie, Kate, Matthew, for David, for Hong Kong, for Shu Yu, for Valerie Nebbia, for Tucker, Del Jones, and for Aaron, Tammy, and the Woofen family, and for Bonnie. God of justice, power, and love, hear our prayers. Amen.
Today's gospel reading comes from the book of Luke, and this passage occurs in a long series of teachings about the kingdom of God and how one should live one's life following Jesus the Christ. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, Do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguished than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, give this person your place. And then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, friend, move up higher. Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. He said also to the one who had invited him, when you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. This is the word of the Lord. I invite the children to come now for a time as children with Sam.
Special is happening today. Communion. Communion happens. We celebrate communion on the first Sunday of the month. Usually there are four Sundays, sometimes there are five, but we celebrate on the first Sunday of the month, so we're doing that today. It's the first Sunday of September. And it's a very special time. Do you see the table? You saw the table probably when you walked in. You see all the bread? And the juice is in that pitcher. Jesus said, when you have bread together, do it in remembrance of me. Do it in remembrance of me. And so we do this together as a whole church family. We come together and we do a couple things when we celebrate communion. We say we're sorry. The church word for that is confession. We confess. We say we're sorry. We've made mistakes. We always do. Well, we always will. And we come and we say, God, we're sorry. And we hear that Jesus forgives us. We hear the story about Jesus' life, and we hear that everyone is welcome at the table. And we have different traditions. Some of us wait till we're baptized to have communion. Some of us have already been baptized and have started having communion. When we have communion today, you all are going to be in here. Sometimes you're in church school, but in the summertime, you're in this space with us when communion's happening. And we're going to do something. I've got another church word for you. Ready? Intinction. Can you say intinction? Intinction. Intinction means you take the bread and you dip it in. I want to show you. When it comes time for communion, we're going to invite folks to come down the center aisles, those two main aisles. And Pastor Heather and I will take a piece of bread and we'll say what Jesus said. This is Jesus' body, the body of bread, the body of heaven, broken for you. You'll see Heather do that too. Watch. She'll break the bread. Give God thanks. And then we'll give it to you and you take it in your hand. And then you'll come to Harvey or to Emmanuel and they'll be holding this, a cup of juice. And you can dip it in there. And then you eat it. And they'll say the cup of salvation. Some of us may be waiting until we're baptized to do that. And so when you come up, you can come up to us too, and you can look at Pastor Heather or me, and you can say, may I have a blessing, please?
And then we'll do something like this. We'll put our hand on your forehead and we'll say, "You are loved by God always," or some other words of blessing on your head. Okay? So all are welcome to come up. You might do that intinction. You may get a blessing. And then we'll go back and sit in our seats. Jesus says, when you come together as a family and you break bread together, remember me. That's what it's all about. And all are welcome. So I'm excited to have that time together with you. You can either have some bread, or remember, you can say, "I'd like a blessing, please." And then we'll bless you. Okay? Sound good? Let's pray together, and then we'll head off to Sunday school. Gracious God, we thank you for who Jesus was and who Jesus is, and for Jesus' love for us. We thank you for that this day we get to remember Jesus' story. We get to apologize and be forgiven by you. And we get to partake in this bread and this juice together as a family. We thank you for the power of communion and your love. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Let us pray together. O God, let the words of my mouth and the meditations and the response of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. A person eats a lot of meals over a lifetime, and sometimes some of those meals become stories. They become family lore, and we can learn something from them. So in my own family, we have the story of the time my mother served octopus for dinner, and one of my sisters ran away from the table screaming. And then there was also the time that she made chicken casserole and put it up on the counter to cool and accidentally broke a glass over the potato chip crust, picked the glass shards out and served it anyway, only telling us later what had happened. There was much laughter and joviality around the table. We were so glad to be alive. Most of our meals were not that risky. But as we look at stories about meals in Scripture, and they are many, we see that they are full of lessons about life. They say something important about the family. This family. Someone has said in Luke that Jesus is always going to a meal, at a meal, or coming from a meal. And it's never just a meal when Jesus is at the table. You might think Jesus would be the perfect guest to have at a party. He's a great storyteller. He does miracles. He's kind, compassionate, the Prince of Peace. But where justice is concerned, Jesus gets kind of direct, even confrontational. Like here in the story we read in Luke, where a leader of the Pharisees invites him to a party. Now the Pharisees, remember, are the good guys. These are the ones who never miss worship. They tithe, they set the moral standards of the day, they pray before every meal. A leader of the Pharisees invites him to a party where everyone is watching him closely. There's a good chance that some of these guests were among those he called hypocrites the week before. So they may be curious or annoyed or setting him up. We don't know. What we do know is that Jesus looks at what is going on in the house of this prominent man, and he notices that what he sees going on around the table looks like what is going on in the world, and he gives some unsolicited advice. The guests are scrambling for the best seat in the house. They want to be seen. They want to rub elbows with the mayor, the president, the football coach, the potential major donor. They want to take a selfie with somebody cool and get a lot of likes on Facebook. The ones with the most means expect the most perks. That's how it works in the world. And the host is working the system too. He's got a glittery guest list, where everybody is somebody who serves a purpose, who can return the favor down the line. But Jesus breaks in with an alternative of all things, humility. Take the lowest place. Assume that you do not know everything. Assume that you are not the greatest, not the anointed one. Now, according to the slogans we wear on our hats, this is a seriously un-American impulse. Our country is not famous for our humility. And sometimes it's true for the church as well. I've attended many clergy gatherings where in the first 3 minutes I learn who has graduated from Harvard, how many members in his church, how big the budget and how fast it is growing. Chauvinism has justified our theological forebears to plunder, enslave, abuse, exclude from earliest days. It would seem that America and many of our churches need Jesus' unsolicited advice. Awkward, socially upside down though it may be, the one we follow humbled himself, was always turning to the struggling, the hurting, the vulnerable. He shares the table with those whom others ignore, put down, turn away. It's likely no easier to hear now than it was then, but Jesus makes friends in low places. And Scripture keeps saying this: set a table where everyone belongs. This is the way to abundant life. Another way of saying this is what the kingdom of God looks like: a table where everyone belongs. Humility funds the realm of God. I'm not sure where we ever hear this lesson except in church. Who else would teach or encourage or show us this way? But there are teachers among us here at First Baptist, wonderful teachers. Those of us who are newer to the church may not have known one of them, Bill McKeachy, who died this year, who along with his wife Ginny was a member of the choir and a member of the church for 60 years. Bill was a brilliant scholar, world-renowned expert in his field, author with an illustrious career and shelves full of prestigious awards. But at his funeral, nieces and nephews spoke of growing up having no idea how famous, how successful he was, never realizing why he was traveling all over the world, because to them he was always just loving Uncle Bill. He also happened to be an outstanding competitive softball player and counted the year that he pitched 3 no-hitters as one of the best years of his life. No kidding. But at family reunions, when the little ones came up to bat, nobody struck out with Bill pitching. Every child got a hit, and every child made it to first base. And that's the story we love and remember. The church keeps teaching. Tuesday evenings, you heard about our Vespers meal in our fellowship hall. Well, last Tuesday, thinking about this sermon at the table, I came down to see who was here and what it was like. And the room was starting to fill with people, some homeless, some financially struggling, all of them strangers to me. I sat down with a couple. She was busy on her phone, but he told me some of his story, his background, Ojibwe and Oneida heritage. I learned he used to be a chef and got some tips on how to keep everything hot when preparing a meal. And then I looked over at the next table, which was filled with men, looked like regulars, talking and laughing. And suddenly I realized that I knew one of them. It was Vern. Not struggling, not homeless, but treating our guests like good friends and then staying to wash dishes afterward. It reminded me of another experience, a church experience in Kansas City, where a few of us went to the women's prison in Chillicothe, where my friend Lee was chaplain. This was a minimum security prison. The inmates got to wear their own clothes, but still the gates, the walls were high, and there was razor wire along the top, and we had to stop at a, a gate and be searched, and the gates all had to be unlocked to go in. And at the gate, the guard stamped my hand, which seemed odd because this wasn't a county fair and, you know, or a game or a concert, and I was not planning on going in and out. But that was the routine. And when we got into the room, Lee had set up a table for communion. And the first women who came in, I assumed to be her colleagues, because I figured this was a special occasion, communion, and people from an outside church. We'd driven 2 hours to get there. And she introduced them one by one, and I kept trying to figure out who was who, like who would be her secretary, and who was the supervisor, and who was the administrator. And then it was time for the service to begin, and everybody took their seat, and suddenly I realized that all the women in the room, except Lee and these friends from the church and me, were inmates. And that is why the guard had stamped my hand, so that when it was time to be let out, he would know it was okay for me to go. We might think that we can tell the difference between inmates and free, the rich and the poor, the conservatives and the liberals, the dangerous and the safe, the ones to invite and the ones to leave out. But it seems like God can't tell. Do not grab the best place for yourself. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers. Everybody gets invited to the table. Let's be thankful that we have things we can give ourselves, but also the gift of our substance. Let's give thanks and be glad as we give, that these gifts make a difference in this world far beyond us. In Jesus' name, I invite you to give.
Oh.
comes, you will be invited to come forward to receive the bread, to dip it in the cup and eat, and we'll use the center aisles to come forward and then return to your seats by the side aisles. And following this, we will serve all who wish or need to remain seated. You are also welcome to come for a blessing, and the traditional way is to cross your arms, and that indicates a blessing, or to just say so. This is the table of the Lord. All are welcome here. Come not because you are strong, but because you are weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because the Lord loves you and gives himself for you. Let this bread, let this cup be for you token and promise of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the community of the Holy Spirit. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Let us join together in the prayer of confession.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed. That what we have done, and that what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry and humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
Anyone in Christ becomes a new person altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything becomes fresh and new. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Christ, we are forgiven. Let us stand now and share the blessing of Christ in the passing of the peace. May the peace of Christ be with you. The risen Christ was known to the disciples. They knew who he was when they saw him breaking the bread. And when we come to the table, we also are invited to recognize and remember him, remembering being the opposite of dismember, which is the breaking, the pulling apart. But remembering means coming together, becoming again whole. And we join believers around the world who do this, who receive bread and cup, believing that through his sacrifice, the world may become one again in God. For I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night that he was betrayed, took the bread.
gave thanks for it, broke it, and shared it with his friends. He shared it saying, "This is my body given for you, for all of you. Do this in remembrance of me."
In the same way, he took the cup also. After supper, saying, "Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes."
We break the bread and eat to share in the body of Christ. So we who eat are one, for we share one bread.
We give thanks for the cup and drink to share in the blood of Christ. Amen.
Thank you. This is money that goes to care for people who walk in our doors all week long. Sometimes they rent, sometimes it's help with utilities, food, other needs. Your gifts today may be left in the plate by the door. They touched many lives with the love of God.
Will you join me as we pray the Lord's Prayer together? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.